Blog Talk Radio.
Well, an interesting day today. You've just tuned in to Sidelines with Nance Werness of the two-time champion Kansas City Storm on WFB Talk Continues. And I think we're going to have a little bit of news today. We were going to talk last week about the UWFL and Art Fest, and the news seemed to kind of fizzle. We didn't have a lot to say, and we kind of did some speculation on some things that had been heard. And I guess a lot more has been heard here in the last 24 hours or so. For those who haven't been on the chat boards or haven't been able to keep track of the activity this week, or today, actually, a lot of it just broke today. It appears that the Art Fest UWFL relationship did not take flight. There were some $1 million that was expected to be funded today, and that did not occur. So, and I know there's been a lot on the chat boards, that, a lot of folks laughing about that, and what were people thinking? And I guess we can take a minute to, smile about that and what would they really think of that is going to come through. And I think there's a lot of folks that weren't very didn't have a lot of faith that that would happen, and they're kind of seeing that play out today. And so we can all kind of laugh at those folks that kind of joined up and got wrapped up in that. And I think that's fine, but I think that we need to also kind of give them a break. I mean, you look at some of the other women's sports that are professional, but have the breadth and depth that I talked about last time. Football does not have the breadth and depth that a lot of the women's sports do that have actually tried to make it as professionals. And, they're not getting deals like this one that was supposedly coming from Art Fest. So what made these folks think that they were going to get the deal? I think it's because they're dreamers, and I think that, there's something to that. And I've actually had players on my team that were dreamers, and they're tough to handle because they really want it to be more than it is, and they want you to invest a lot, and they want, to make it more than it is, and they want to be more special than maybe they are. And so there's nothing really wrong with that, though. People dream, and I think that that's probably what some of those women were doing. They kind of lost track of maybe logic, and they were dreaming. So we applaud that, and we all need to do that, and some of us need to do more of that. But so rather than laughing and making fun and saying I told you so, I know that I saw plenty of that going out on the boards, and I've heard that through my text messages today too. But those gals were dreaming, and so we all sometimes aspire to be maybe something more than we are. And I think it's probably a good lesson to take back now here today, rather than just kind of poke fun at the folks. We have to realize, continue to realize, what we are compared to other women's sports out there, and I think that we have to be true to ourselves as far as who we are and what we are. And this is amateur athletics. We all go back to work on Monday morning. I mean, that's what it is. And if we can accurately identify who we are right now and where we want to be, and then we understand what that delta is and create actual plans around that, then we have some viable path to growing the sport or moving to the next level. But until we actually have a better realistic view of ourselves, I think that we're going to have things like this happen where people just chase dreams, things that just didn't add up in the end. I guess the IWFL, they were approached as a league and didn't kind of smelled it out and weren't really sold on it. And, we got some dreamers out there. They got some other folks convinced, and they kind of went for it. So you applaud the initiative. You applaud the excitement. But you have to always be able to put your feet on the ground and look around and see where you are. You know, we don't see these type of deals coming from for the women's softball players. Let's talk about softball and kind of try to compare ourselves to them for a minute here. I started talking last week about breadth and depth and how football doesn't really have that. Some of the other sports have that, where women have played softball since they were 4, 5, 6 years old, and they've been through college, collegiate experience. They're Olympians. You know, the women's softball, professional softball league now, I think they're down to just 4 teams now, but they have Olympians on there. They've got accomplished collegiate players that have played for years and years. And so they do things on the field that most people can't do. And you think about soccer. Soccer just started over the last couple years, the professional soccer, women's soccer league. You know, they've got the breadth and the depth. They've got a lot of soccer players across the country that have played for a long time, and they're accomplished, and they've played in college. They've maybe played in the Olympics and World Cups, and they've got that experience, and they can more adequately carry that banner of professionalism and international accomplished athletes. And we don't have that. And I know there's folks that don't like to hear that, but I think if we are more true to ourselves, understanding where we are, then we can be have better plans to get where we want to be. Obviously, the whole Art Fest thing wasn't a good plan. They didn't have the money. You know, I think that there's, you know, a lot of folks that really wished it would have happened and they got excited about it, but, you know, wishing and hoping doesn't make it happen. And so I think that's kind of the takeaway that we can have from today. I don't want to poke fun at those guys anymore. I know there's plenty of that going on and laughing about it, but, you know, they're dreamers. You know, they tried something out, and I think we need to learn from that and learn from that. Meaning be true to ourselves, where we are as amateur athletes, and you know, where we should be making our next plan. I talked a little bit about the professional softball, and I reflected a lot today on something that was going on here in Kansas City about the same time as all this came about, and that was we've got a couple of very accomplished softball teams, amateur softball teams here in Kansas City that played league play here in Kansas City, did some traveling. They logged some travel miles and did some tournaments and ended up joining signing up for and participating in a big softball tournament out in Las Vegas over the last, couple weeks, I guess. Maybe Dion can tell us a little bit more about that. They were at Las Vegas, hosted the big tournament out there. And it was a national tournament, you know, and they may become the national champions or had a crack at being the national champions and getting a nice trophy out of the deal. But even as accomplished as those softball players are and how much they dedicated to themselves and to their teammates throughout the season, you know, in the end, they pay for themselves to go to a tournament. They chose a tournament that they wanted to go to that they thought they could be successful at and have fun, be well matched. And they're all going to come back a little bit lighter in the wallets, but having had a lot of fun and met some new people, and they all go back to work on Monday. And I wonder if that model isn't all around us, whether it be soccer or softball, basketball, and why we don't try to embrace that a little bit more until we have the athletes and the breadth and depth built up for football across the country that those other sports have, and then maybe make a play like this was trying to do. It's just kind of interesting, you know, from the get-go when we saw the press release, there were just a lot of inconsistencies with the press release and what we knew to be true. And so I think that perhaps Art Fest might have been leading the teams. Maybe the teams were a little more optimistic that as far as what they were bringing to the table than Art Fest knew, because there were a lot of things in the press release that didn't seem to add up. And it kind of goes back to what I was saying. It's being true to ourselves, understanding where we are, and if we want to be someplace else, you know, define that someplace else and get an action plan around the delta and to get us there. But there's no easy jumps. We're not going to win the lottery and have $1 million all of a sudden to promote the sport. So we need to build it, and just like the other sports are doing, and we are behind. And so if a team can get started and can go to playoffs and so forth with players that only have 2 or 3 years experience, that ought to tell you really what we are, and we're not accomplished football players like the NFL or the collegiate level. You know, we only have, you know, a lot of our players only have 2 to 5 years experience behind them, maybe 10. I think the press release talked about these teams being around 10 years. I don't think any of them have been around 10 years. I think the leagues all started around 2002, 2003, maybe. I could be wrong. But at the most, we've got players with maybe, 8 or 10 years experience or 7 to 9 years experience. Again, half or less than the experience of our counterparts who have been able to achieve some sort of professionalism with softball, basketball, soccer. And so, we need to be aware of that. And so that's kind of a comment there. Some of the things that came across on the board talks about the finer teams. That's kind of funny. I think this is Coach Bill. I'm going to just kind of paraphrase here. He says, it's like calling them the elites. If these teams and their owners were so wonderful, how do they lose control of their league and get suckered into an investment group with no money? I have no doubt that some of these teams will do just fine, but this is a hobby. Longevity means absolutely nothing, and certainly it's not a reliable benchmark for future performance. I think he's hit the nail on the head there, is that, the teams do come and go, and they're flighty. And it has to do with a lot of what I talked about over the last couple of installments of sidelines, where we talked about the drama and how that can just tear the team down. Oklahoma City Lightning was a tremendous team for many years. Almost overnight it was gone, the demolition, almost overnight. And there's many more to talk to. So because I think of the drama and not being able to control some of that stuff, and although I got to tell you, the NFL has provided a lot of that here recently too. So nobody's immune to that, but it affects it. And so I think that this is Coach Beal was talking about that, and that. So much play into the success of a team and the longevity, and it's flighty and it's not stable. I guess it's instability. The leagues aren't stable. The sport's not stable. The whole drama that we've had here this fall kind of shows that, and the hard feelings when you had some set of folks that thought they were, better. That could turn in a season. And we've seen that happen. So, we just have to realize where we are and what affects us and the success of the teams and the leagues, and either accept that or take steps to insulate ourselves from that. There's another item on the board. And they're talking about a lot of the teams ended up in the WFA. I guess I didn't finish what some of the drama was today. So the whole Art Fest thing fell through. It didn't look like it was going to go anyway. So now the teams that were going to do that don't have a place to go. So they all went to the WFA. So now there's a big conglomerate over there of teams. And, of course, they're of all different skill levels. And so you heard some verbiage around tiering the WFA, which wasn't something that worked with the IWFA or the IWFL. And there's some speculation that it won't work for the WFA either. But there's a realization that as more and more teams join into a league, the league is less apt to be able to service all the teams because the teams need different things. And I talked about this before also. The Storm got a lot of players last year that wouldn't go to the Spartans. The Spartans supposedly were going to practice 5 days a week last week or last year. I don't know if that happened or not, but that was reported back to me. So some women don't want to practice 5 days a week. You know, some women, you know, obviously there was a full squad over the Spartans. They had women that wanted to do that. And so if a league, so you have to understand, women's football, there's all kinds of women that want different things out of their experience and their teams, and one league, at least so far, hasn't been able to service those correctly or adequately. And I think the Lone Stars, you know, made a comment: one championship, one team, or one championship, one league. And you know, my concern with that is it's exclusionary. Is when you start doing that, it's exclusionary. And you think about softball. Think about how many leagues are out there for softball. And if you join a league, or you can just schedule your own games, you know, depending on what you want to do, who you want to play. You create your own team. You schedule your games. You can decide what tournaments you want to go out to, you know, and depending on the end of the season, which could be a fall season, could be a spring season, whenever you might end up at some national tournament, you know, that you want to participate in because you think that would be fun or that you'd match up well with those folks, and you kind of hand pick your experience. And I think that when we leave that to the league or a league, we're underserved. And so, and we're starting to see that already with the announcement with these folks in the WFA and how they're going to be treated. And they wanted that elite status. They wanted to be something special. And so then that kind of ticked off some of the other teams in the WFA. And, you know, how are you going to reconcile all these different teams and what they want? And I think the answer is the leagues aren't the answer. That's not the, and let's look at, it's not the answer. Let's look at the model of softball, of soccer, of basketball. And that model is distributed leagues, distributed games and so forth, where teams can crop up and schedule their own seasons. And then there's some tournament structure. And, you know, softball has A, B, C, D leagues, you know. And so depending on where you see your team, you schedule yourself into tournaments, you know, where you think you'll be competitive and where your players will have a good experience. And so D teams and C teams can have just as much postseason activity and have just as good of an experience as an A competitive team or B category team. That's in softball. And I just wonder if we shouldn't be a little bit true to ourselves, understand that there's a lot of women that want to play football, but they don't want to be married to it. And they want to have a good experience. They don't want to have to fund. There was also some talk about the WSFL and how much they're spending on their championship weekend and how much that's costing the teams and the players. You know, some teams don't want to do that. They don't want to fund some big tournament at the end. They just want to play 8 or 10 games and be done. And they should be able to do that. And if they want to schedule themselves into some post-tournament activity, then they should, you know, fund that and be able to do that. And they should be able to play teams that they pick, that they schedule teams that they know that they'll have a meaningful experience. You know, we're setting ourselves up without a large league like the WFA or teams that you end with as few teams as we have, and that talks about the breadth that we talked about last time and again today. Without a lot of teams around you of your same caliber, with players that are like your players, that they want a similar experience and they're willing to do whatever level of practices, 2, 3, 4, 5 times a week, you want to find teams that are like you to play, because that's going to be the best experience for your players and the other players. And I think that we're not doing that, and we're still setting ourselves up for 80-0 blowouts. I think that was mentioned on the board here tonight. Isn't this just going to set us up for the 80-0? What do we do with the new startup teams that just get crushed? You know, why do they have to pay dues like that? They shouldn't have to pay dues. If we made it cheaper and easier for new teams to start up and there are teams around you to play, we can bring new teams around at a reasonable pace. And I think Dion said, coach them up. But, you know, Dion, that's nice. If the girls want to be coached up, if they want to play practice five times a week, you don't always have that. And so by trying to create a league or set of leagues that service all the teams, you're not going to be successful. The leagues aren't the answer. Excuse me, they're not the answer. They're not going to be successful. And the problem are the new teams or the smaller teams that just become whipping poles for the other teams. So I think someone actually said that on the board too. I wish I had the person to quote, and I apologize for whoever wrote this. Either that or you get a team like the New Mexico teams. They've never even had a prayer of a winning season. I wish there were some ways that younger teams could play their way up to a more competitive division. Everyone deserves a chance to play with the big dogs, but not everyone may be ready just yet. And that's perfect. And right now, the leagues are not addressing this issue. They'll give us a schedule. They'll take our money, they'll give us a schedule, and they'll put us on the website. But really, what are they doing above and beyond that for us? And what are they doing for the newer teams that need to be able to gain some experience? What are they doing for the teams that have been around, that have players with 4 and 5 years experience that want to play more competitive, but just because they're in a certain league and because a certain proximity of a team that's near them, that team's new, then they're going to have 2 games out of their 8, let's just say, of the season will be a blowout and will be meaningless to them. And it's not a good experience for any of them, but just because of the league that they happen to be in, the proximity of the teams, that's who they get scheduled with. And I think that that's wrong. So, let's just take a break. It's too late for this year, but let's just be rhetorical here and ask some questions about how we can really fix this and look around us. You know, this isn't something that's new to women's sports or sports in general. Let's look to our softball brethren, to soccer, to basketball, what they're doing. And the leagues are not powerful things. Those are small, regional, local things that exist for the purpose of getting you a schedule. Then there's tournaments on the outside of those. And that's where you can either participate or not participate. And if you decide to participate, you schedule the tournament based on, who you are and who you want to play and the experience that you want to give your players. And so I guess tonight, that's kind of what I want to just tee up is the lot of drama here over the last 24 hours. We seem to just kind of have landed with the kind of the same solutions we always had. Some said it. Of leagues are going to give us a schedule, take our money, give us a schedule, and the schedule may or may not give us a meaningful, our players a meaningful experience, depending on where we happen to sit and what other teams happen to be in that league. And let's just dream a little bit ourselves here. Let's be realistic about where we are, and let's dream ourselves about a sport where there are no leagues. Or they're just small regional things that facilitate scheduling, but that we have a series of tournaments that based on, the experience that you want and what you're willing to pay for, how far you're willing to travel. One of the softball teams here, both the softball teams that went to the national tournament from the Kansas City area did a lot of fundraisers themselves to get the teams out there. And so, but they were willing to do that. That was important to them. And there's other teams in Kansas City that were probably, could be just as competitive, that decided not to go to the national tournament. That wasn't what they were wanted to do with their money, and they wanted to do something different. So, the structure that's being proposed here, we talked earlier about leagues and the rigor and the structure and how that's somewhat stifling. And I think that that's continuing to stifle the growth of the sport, because you are exclusionary, and the new teams don't have a prayer of having a good experience. So none of that's being addressed, and so I wonder if we can just kind of dream a little bit of a sport where we begin to, and if you can begin to make it easier and more desirable for new teams to start, then you start getting that breadth that I talked about before, where you get more teams across the country because it's easier to start. It's not expensive. You're not spending thousands of dollars to a league to get a schedule, or to fund, somebody else to go to the championship game. You know, I am involved with the flag football, women's flag football organization, and they're struggling with some of these same issues. And their solution is to have the leagues, and then if you want to participate in the tournament, you pay an extra $100 or something, and that becomes the prize money for the tournament. And so they're able to offer prize money. You have to kind of dictate that you want to be part of that that prize pool, and then of course you have to get yourself to the tournament to play. But that's kind of how they are addressing that. So they're allowing some of the more serious teams, the more serious players, to have that outlet and to be able to excel and to get rewards that they're looking for and accolades that they're looking for. But it doesn't tax the teams that don't want that, which is what I think our leagues are doing now under their current structure. Everybody has to pay a big league fee. You know, a segment of that goes to the championship game that really doesn't benefit the majority of the players or the teams. So it's kind of a tax that they have to pay. And so it'd be nice to eliminate that. If you could eliminate that tax, you then can I think makes reduces the barrier of entry for new teams, and reduces the cost, and we can start getting new teams in, and you get them in. The more new teams you have, the less new teams have to play the older, more experienced teams, and so then that's a better experience. It starts to grow, and you start getting that breadth across the country that I've been talking about. So anyway, those are my comments for tonight. Let's go over to the chat room here. And I'm actually online tonight, and we are live. So here's your chance to reach out. And looks like we're having some trouble with the chat room. I think BJ was having a little bit of trouble with it early, and I don't see it up right now. So I'm afraid I still can't entertain any comments from the crowd, so at least tonight. But obviously, any time that you want to comment on the show or want me to address some topic, or you want to join the show, you want to comment on something that I've talked about already and point, counterpoint, or whatever, I welcome that. Just email me at nwernis@kcstormfootball.com, and we'll get you on the next show. And or get any questions answered or any comments that you have. I can read them at the beginning of the show, so everybody has a say. And hopefully we can discuss some of these issues with our sport and learn from those. And let's not be too hard on the dreamers that were kind of maybe a little bit embarrassed today with the turn of events. So let's applaud the dreamers, but let's be realistic about where we are and where we need to be, and get a realistic path to that. And there's no lottery out there, ladies. No one's going to give us $1 million for a bunch of unproven folks. As much as we'd like to believe that we're really good, and we probably are really good in some cases, but we have a lot less experience than most women that have accomplished professional status, and so we just need to understand that. And we all go back to work on Monday as amateurs, amateur athletes, and it's still a great experience. And so take it for what it is, enjoy it while you can play, and leave the sport better for the next generation. So that's all I had for tonight. So, again, if you have any comments or want to join me next time, please email me at nwernis@kcstormfootball.com. You've listened to Sidelines with Nance Wernis of the Kansas City Storm on WFB Talk Continues. Good night.